From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
This is Alan Kearns with you once again, inviting you to stay with us for the rest of this 30-minute broadcast as we let the Bible speak. This week, as we continue our studies in Colossians chapter 1, we come to verses 21 and 22. The subject there is reconciliation with God. I trust that you'll stay with us as we look at that, because it is, for every individual, surely the most important issue that we can possibly face. Where do we stand with God? Either enemies or reconciled. And reconciliation here is carefully expounded by the inspired apostle. So we're going to be looking at that throughout this week, and our first study in it will come in just a few minutes. First, however, we start in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, with our devotional for the day, and it's on the subject of the blessed hope. Behold, he cometh with clouds. According to the apostle Paul, the blessed hope of the church is the return in glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. The passage of time has not dimmed that expectation. Jesus is coming again. That's the constant promise of Scripture. Christ's coming is to be personal, physical, and actual. The promise cannot be spiritualized or idealized, and it has not yet been fulfilled, but it remains before God's people as the fixed point toward which all the Bible's prophecies of the end time are irresistibly moving. Satan and sinners may mock this truth. They may sneer, as Peter tells us, where is the promise of his coming? But they cannot alter the glorious truth that Jesus is coming again. God's prophetic program that leads to that glorious appearing is right on track and right on time. The Scripture uses this truth to stimulate us to be holy. It's impossible to hold this hope before us without living pure and holy lives, as 1 John 3, verse 3 makes clear. He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. The blessed hope is not indulgence in wild prophetic fancies that put the brain in a fever and yet lower the temperature of spiritual life. The blessed hope is intensely practical and leads us to live in such a way that we will not be ashamed before Christ at his coming. The promise of the Lord's return also brings comfort amid our sufferings and afflictions. It directs a bright beam from glory into the darkness of bereavement, as we learn in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. 1 Corinthians 15, 52 through 58 shows that it gives us strength to face death and overcome its terror. It assures us that these bodies, in which we have so much limitation and trouble, will soon be made like the glorious body of our Savior. No more sickness, no more suffering, no more sadness, no more sin. This is the glorious expectation of the people of God. Surely with John the Apostle, we eagerly cry, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And our thought for the day, if I do not gaze with rapture on Christ in meditation and prayer, I deceive myself if I profess to be eager to see him coming again.
Thou art coming, O my Savior, thou art coming.
Many of you have already asked for our quarterly magazine, and have, I trust, been enjoying reading it. The latest issue of the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly deals with the subject of the cross of Christ, and that should make it an issue that is of interest to all of God's people. If you haven't yet joined our readership, I encourage you to do so. It's easy. All you have to do is call or write, either by conventional mail or by email, and we'll ship the magazine off to you. There's no cost to you at all, and no strings attached. We know that almost any time you order anything from most Christian ministries, you're likely to receive endless streams of begging letters. That will not happen when you write or call Let the Bible Speak. So make sure you get in our mailing list for the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is freepres@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you and being able to send you our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. As I announced at the top of the broadcast, today we commence a series of studies this week on the subject of reconciliation with God. And the point we'll be making is that such reconciliation is personal, it is perfect, and it is permanent. So I trust you'll stay with us now as we turn to the Word of God, and do please pay particular attention when I come to tell you in a fairly lengthy sentence, but a very important one, how Paul actually defines and describes what he means by this term reconciliation. It is, of course, one of the most important terms in the gospel vocabulary, and I think if we can get a handle on exactly how the apostle is employing it, it will be for our own benefit, and it will undoubtedly lead us, I think, into deeper assurance and certainly deeper enjoyment of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're ready now to turn to Colossians chapter 1, the subject of reconciliation with God, from the verses 21 through 22. This morning we're going to return to the studies in Colossians 1, but we read a few verses in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, commencing at verse 1 and reading to the end of verse 11. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And I should point out to you that our authorized version uses the word atonement not as the theological term that we understand by the word atonement, but it uses it in its etymological sense. It's made up of three words, at one meant. And that's how it is used here. It is the word that we would now term reconciliation. So by whom we have received the reconciliation. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Let's briefly bow in prayer. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we rejoice in what we have read in thy word. We thank thee for the love of God in Christ. We thank thee for the sacrifice of our Redeemer. We bless thee for the reconciling virtue of the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we thank thee for the justifying power and grace that's in the blood of the Lamb. We believe there's power in Jesus' blood. And, O Lord, we rejoice in that today. Now as we turn to thy word, we pray that thou wilt still us in thy presence and speak with simplicity, with clarity, with urgency, and with power to each and every heart. Start in the pulpit and go from seat to seat and heart to heart. And, O Lord, we pray, give us a message from God today. Save us from a sermon. Grant us a message from heaven. And, O Lord, as has been already prayed, grant that we will be swift to hear, and having heard, that we will be swift to do what thy word would say unto us. We ask these things, giving thee our thanks. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Returning to Colossians chapter 1, we come this morning to verses 21 and 22. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in
his sight. The gospel revelation shows the Lord Jesus Christ as head over all things, the one in whom all created things have their being, the one by whom all created things hold their peculiar place in the order and scheme of creation. The gospel revelation sets forth Christ not only as the Redeemer of men, but as the Restorer of the entire universe. You see, in Adam's fall, the whole creation fell. In Adam's curse, the entire course of nature was cursed. And so, in Christ's redemption, the entire scope of Adam's fall was reversed, and Christ the Redeemer purchased the restoration of the entire creation, every area of God's creation that had fallen under the curse of man's sin. Now, at first, that would give you the impression of universalism, that therefore everybody must end up being saved. That is not so, and I need to emphasize it because we're living in a day of universalism making a comeback, and this time not in liberal churches, at least not in avowedly liberal churches. They have always held to old-fashioned universalism, that everybody will end up being saved. But now it's getting into evangelical churches, and you have a resurrection through a theological line of neo-orthodoxy. If that doesn't convey anything to you at the moment, don't worry. It's simply the jointure of liberalism with evangelicalism in a way that is bringing this heresy of universalism to acceptance among people who ought to know better. The Bible does not teach that all men will be saved. In fact, it teaches the very opposite, and it makes clear that all men will not be saved. No one was more adamant about that. No one spoke more frequently about it or more forcefully about it than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In all the scriptures, he is the outstanding preacher warning about the reality and the eternity and the terribleness of a never-ending hell. No preacher ever spoke as Christ spoke with such force, warning men of hell. Not all men will be saved. And so it behoves, or as you Americans will mispronounce the English language, it behooves. I don't know why I hate that pronunciation or that spelling, but I do. It behooves you and it behooves me. But every one of us, to make very sure that we have a personal interest in Christ's redeeming work, that the merits of the blood of Christ have actually been personally applied to our hearts, that we can not only say he is the shepherd, but he's my shepherd. He's not only the Savior, he is my Savior. He not only purchased redemption, he purchased my redemption. Not only is there power in his blood, but I know and have experienced the power that is in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must personally be assured of a saving interest in the redeeming work and merit of Christ and his cross. Paul makes this clear in the passage we have been reading by very deftly going from the cosmic aspect of Christ's work to the personal aspect. We have already looked at, in the foregoing verses, at that cosmic aspect. And having looked at Christ as the restorer of all creation, Paul now, in the words of our text in verse 21 and 22, comes down to the personal level. He says, you who were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. What he's telling the Colossian believers here is that once you were cut off from God by your sin, but now he has reconciled you to himself by the death of his own incarnate Son. And having reconciled you, he purposes to set you forth before all his creatures in the glory of sinless perfection. And in token of that, he now firmly grounds you in the faith of the gospel, and he keeps you from being moved away from it. Now that's a huge statement, but that's the statement of our text this morning. So I want us to turn to these verses. The subject is simply put. It's not a simple subject, but it's simply put. It's briefly put, though it's not a brief subject either. I want to talk to you this morning about reconciliation with God. Reconciliation with God. Personal, perfect, and permanent. And as Paul deals with this subject, he sets forth three great truths that will highlight the need for reconciliation, the nature of reconciliation, and the purpose, goal, or result.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.